No, don't go ahead. Use it in your non-rude way, and then I'll interpret.
Yeah, I have something to do after this. Can you cut to the chase?
Rude.
I think it's honest.
I disagree. Honest and rude kind of, can there's a blurry line there.
If honest equals rude, then the person who is offended by honesty is kind of a d- Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan. I'm in Tubingen, Germany, and with me, as always, is.
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
So, what's going on, Adam?
Not much. How about you?
I'm a little confused about what day it is.
It's over here, it's Wednesday evening, so I'm guessing Thursday morning
But
for you.
this is not going to air until next week.
Oh, okay. It gets really
And
complicated.
I'm recording it in Tubingen, but when this airs, I will no longer be in Tubingen. I'll be in Vancouver.
Oh, sweet.
We need to get Doc Brown in here and go with the space-time continuum.
The flux capacitor.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll help sort us all out.
Now, I have a question for you, and this is kind of a G-rated show, so maybe this gets bleeped, but I don't think so. But in high school, did you guys have sort of an in joke about the flux capacitor looking something like the female reproductive system?
No.
Okay. Kind of resembles a uterus.
Oh.
Yeah, so
no,
just
I
check
was
that
cool
out.
in high school.
Somehow I doubt that.
Yeah. I really overplayed that hand. I really was really shouldn't have been bluffing on that one. Yeah. No, but I come to think of I think you're probably right. It probably does look like the charts that you read in health class.
Yes. So,
Yeah.
anyways, check that out.
Great. Way to derail my whole where in the world is Alan?
Okay, so you're going to be in Canada next week.
Well, when this airs, I will be in Canada. I'm heading back to I got to work in Canada.
All right. Well, that means some upcoming face-to-face podcast then.
That's what that means. It's going to be our first live in-person face-to-face podcast for the Two Hosers.
What do you mean live?
Well, in person.
Okay.
The other ones are live as well, I suppose.
Are
Well, not
we
live. We're not broadcasting live.
right, but we're going to do it from your studio.
Probably from your studio.
Okay, I didn't know I had a studio, but I got a bedroom.
Yeah. We'll do something like that.
All right.
So yeah, so we got a couple shows planned for next week to jam into my busy schedule. So that's I'm only in town for just a quick jump, but
And what are you doing while you're here?
working my head off.
Photography?
Yep, photography, a couple jobs, and a couple different video jobs.
Exciting.
Yeah, when I paint you the word picture like that, yeah, it's exciting.
Well, you're sort of a world renowned now.
Nah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I have to fly, but from a job, so that's pretty cool. It is coach though,
Right,
so
right.
that's the good news.
Maybe the next trip you'll be a big wig.
I got your picture of your dad and Richard Dreyfuss,
Yeah?
and I posted mine of my dad and Harrison Ford.
And I looked at that, and let me tell you, and again, I just want to reiterate this. I never claimed that my dad looked like Richard Dreyfuss. My dad claimed that he looked like Richard Dreyfuss, and that people would tell him he looked like Richard Dreyfuss. So I just did the split screen because I wanted to prove to myself and to him, as well as, to our audience, that my dad does not really look like Richard Dreyfuss. And I showed this to my dad, and I said, "Really, Dad?" And he said, "Yeah, no, I guess I don't look that much like Richard Dreyfuss." So.
See, I feel the same. Like, I don't think my dad necessarily looks like Harrison Ford. I'm not making that claim. I guess that would make me Shia LaBeouf. So again, I'm making the same statement that my dad hears it all the time, and I purposely picked photos that did not feature the hat.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was a good idea too, because the hat was totally going to be misleading.
It absolutely, that would be thrown out of a court.
Yeah.
Now you saying that, I look at your dad. Your dad doesn't not look like Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, I can't see him getting confused for Richard Dreyfuss though.
I wouldn't ask for his autograph.
No, no. And see, but your dad. Sorry, you go ahead.
If your dad gets a haircut, and by that I mean, you know, beard, full facial hair.
Yeah.
Gets the eyebrows trimmed like Richard Dreyfuss, it's not far off.
Yeah, and I think that in the pictures that I chose, the glasses make a definite impact. My dad's beard's a little bit bigger and bushier, and this picture of Richard Dreyfuss is a little younger than my dad here. So there was a better match, but unfortunately Richard Dreyfuss was wearing a hat, and the only pictures I had with my dad with a hat on had sunglasses on, and so then you couldn't see his eyes. So anyway, so I ended up with this picture, and I think there's probably about a 10-year age difference between Richard Dreyfuss in this picture and my dad. So I needed to age Richard Dreyfuss a little more, and I think that present day Richard Dreyfuss, old Richard Dreyfuss, does look more like my dad than this particular picture.
I'm going to have to go back and count the number of times you said Richard Dreyfuss thus far in this episode.
Could be a drinking game.
It could be the new Drinko.
But I look at your dad in this picture, and I do see the resemblance. So maybe maybe your dad's got something to that story.
I think he might. But anyways, we'll post it up there, and we'll let other people decide.
And wow, does Harrison Ford have bad hair in that picture?
Yes.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, well.
It's a helmet. He's wearing a helmet.
I guess that's why he wore the hat all those years.
Yeah.
In those movies.
All right, so.
What else? What else is going on? I got a new wide-angle lens, by the way.
Oh, yeah? What'd you get?
17-40.
Yeah.
F4L.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an upgrade on what you were using before.
I had had a 17-85, like the fancy kit lens for the 40D.
Right.
And it broke.
Right, we remember.
Yep. No, I wasn't going to tell the rest of the story. No. Broke.
In Munich, when you were with your dad. And
I was gonna get it fixed. I wasn't sure. And then I thought, well, why don't I get something that I can use on my full frame as well? So I looked at the 17-40, which I don't know if you're familiar with that lens, but it's pretty cool.
And how much did that run you?
I bought it used, and I don't know yet.
Oh, okay. You're waiting for the price to come in?
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bought it from a guy I know, and he just said, go ahead and use it, and we'll figure out a price later. I needed it for that wedding a while ago.
Yeah.
And so I got it the day I left for the wedding, about 5 minutes before I left. I went and picked it up and tried it out. Gave it a whirl, and love it.
Awesome. Okay.
Because 17 mils on the 40D is sort of the rough equivalent of like a 28 millimeter lens.
Right, right.
27 or something like that.
Yeah, because of the crop.
So using a 17 mil on the full frame was pretty cool.
Yeah, so you get super wide.
You get a little distortion and stuff, but guess what? It's a really wide lens. What do you think's going to happen? And but it comes in really handy. So I'm eager to really give it a try with video as well, because it's gonna pretty much be amazing.
Okay.
So there's that. One other quick note before we get on to what we shoot. We get some listener feedback. Ian from the UK was the latest person, not the only person, but the latest person to ask us about enhanced podcasts.
Which I don't know much about, so why don't you fill us in?
Well, you can do the podcast so that while you're listening to it on your iPod, you can change, basically make it like a slideshow.
Right.
So you can change the picture that you're looking at, that the person's listening at. Like basically at a certain point, I'd say the 5 minute mark,
right,
the picture would change to something else. And there that way we could incorporate our challenge photos and everything that we're talking about right in the podcast.
Oh, that sounds cool. And you know how to do this?
Yes, I've done this before. And it's actually not tremendously hard to do. So it's something we're going to have a look at and see. The only thing, there's a couple things I didn't like about it, is that I found the end user experience to be a little bit clunky at best.
Right.
And plus, I think it's only, last I did it, it was about a year ago. I think it was only used, being, you can only use it on an iPod or an Apple product.
Right.
And, I mean, I think a lot of people listen on their iPhones anyways, but my concern is that we segment the listeners.
I see.
And so then the other way around that would have to be making two different versions, and then people might download the wrong one, and it could lead to some confusion. So,
or maybe
if
just,
I'm dragging my
just
heels.
What about just the regular version that's always been available and one version with the embedded that's just for the iPod? And if people don't have the iPod, well, stick with the old version.
Yes, but some people may not, you know, may download the wrong one anyways.
Oh, I see.
It happens.
I see. Well, they should learn.
They should learn. Everybody should, hey, people should learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But not in this case. But, yeah, so if I'm dragging my heels on it, that's why. But we'll try one in the upcoming. As I said earlier, I'm really busy in the week coming up, a couple weeks coming up. So it's probably not going to happen on this episode, but in the very near future, Ian, we are going to give it a try.
Okay. I like the idea, because that's one of the things I've thought about, you know, people who are listening and, you know, we spend whatever it is, 10, 15 minutes talking about challenge pictures. And in that moment, you know, I don't know, you know, what people are getting out of it until they actually go and look at what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And that's some feedback I've had before. I've had a few people ask about that. And yeah. So we'll give it a try on the premise, on the condition that if we do it, I would love to hear feedback, both positive and negative, just as long as it's constructive. So, you know, we can get it right and make sure get the listeners what they want.
All right. Well, I will do nothing to help.
Awesome. We call that status quo.
Yeah. But you know what? I will bitch at you to get it done.
Awesome.
So, if that helps.
Well, that'll help.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what my wife tries with the garbage, so. And that works out well.
Yeah.
What did you shoot this week?
Not much. I just, a couple of pictures I took of my daughter. She got a costume, the movie Toy Story 3. There was a cowgirl character in that movie named Jessie, and she's been talking for a while about wanting to be Jessie for Halloween. She likes to plan these things out well in advance. She's a four-year-old, so pretty much life revolves around Christmas and Halloween and whatever random holidays is upcoming. So
birthdays.
Yeah, birthdays, the like. So anyway, she wants to be Jessie, and she's sort of stuck to her guns, and that's the pun intended, about being Jessie. So we were at a Disney store on the weekend, my wife and I, and decided that, okay, well, we'll get her the Jessie boots and the hat, and wow, was she excited when we got that stuff home. So she's pretty much been wearing it, you know, a bulk of her days are spent in the Jessie boots and hat. So took a few pictures of that.
Is she going to wear it out before Halloween?
Oh, yeah. She wore it to the water park in her swimsuit. She wore the boots and the hat. So she had to show her aunt and her uncle and cousins. So, yep, in the boots, the hat, and her swimsuit. So,
wow.
Yeah, I wish I had gotten a picture of it, but it was, I just didn't have the camera ready, and then the boots came off and she went in the water park. So it was pretty cute. I did get a little video snippet that I'll someday show at her wedding, so. Pretty funny. So
great.
That's it. What about yourself?
I went and shot some street portraits.
Oh yeah,
like some street photography portraits of random strangers. Right. But we did it at had an assistant, Paolo Sacramento, who does his own podcast. I don't know if I've talked about him before.
You probably have. The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he speaks Brazilian.
Okay.
Just kidding. They speak Portuguese.
All right. I don't know.
In Brazil. Yeah. He's from Brazil.
Okay. Sure. Portuguese.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. So he came and helped me out, and we went around town for a couple hours and basically shot some sort of off-camera flash, strobist kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
So he held the flash, put it on a, actually put the flash up on a microphone boom pole. and he walked around and we just kind of set some stuff up. So I'll post those on my website in the near future. Okay. Again, busy.
Okay. But
shot some of those. Had a couple tries at shooting a biometric. What do you call the pictures now for the passports?
I don't know.
We call them biometric, but they have like the certain, I don't know what they're called there. Where you have to be like a certain kind of picture now.
I just know that you have to go somewhere to get them done here. You can't take them yourself.
Yeah, you can take them yourself here.
They have to be stamped from an authorized passport location. So you either have to go to a photography studio or something like it.
We call that a cash grab.
Yeah.
That's all that is. I've made a few efforts at trying to take one of my daughter, who is now, I don't know, 2 months old.
Okay.
When do you stop talking in weeks and go to months? I 8 weeks was the cutoff for me.
Sure. I don't think that there's a hard and fast rule.
Yeah. So anyways, the first effort was a failure.
Okay.
Getting her to hold still and have, you know, mommy's hand not be in the picture and all that. I mean, she's 2 months old. Well, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Give her a lollipop.
She's 2 months. That'd be awesome.
No, it's fine. They're fine.
Yeah. So I shot that, and we're trying round two. It's funny, round two is going to happen today. And then we had a couple friends coming over who have like a four-month-old, and she said, oh, well, can we try taking a picture of him too? And I said, yeah, sure. Well, you know, while we're set up, I have no problem with that. And then she told another friend, and she asked, oh, can I come over as well? So it's turning into a bit of a photo shoot today.
Yeah.
Yeah, right after this podcast. So
that sounds riveting.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then I shot, I shot a lot of stuff recently, but we shot some white, I think we talked about the white seamless background stuff on a couple episodes ago.
Okay, yeah.
And I finally posted the picture. It was for the wedding last week or whatever that was. And I posted it on my homepage.
I'll check that out.
Check it out. Yeah, it's everybody forming the word friends with their bodies.
Cool.
Which is a very popular sort of gift nowadays.
Okay. I like it.
Awesome. Tons of shooting. Let's move into... I highly recommend shooting with a white seamless background if you get a chance.
Yeah, it requires a fair amount of equipment, does it not?
Yep. You need some off-camera lights and a white seamless background.
Right, you can get at the corner store?
They're pretty cheap now. Actually, I looked online because when I rented one, I thought, wow, you know, like I'll rent one, no problem. And I could never afford, not that I could never afford one, but I could not justify buying one.
Right.
Then I checked some prices out and you can get them for pretty cheap now. So I'm probably going to buy two of them actually.
All right. So
one for Canada, one for over here in Germany.
All right.
Don't want to fly with it. So highly recommend shooting with it. Photo challenge. What was this week's photo challenge, Adam?
To take a picture that tells a story.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. You want to go first or second? Pick.
First.
Okay. I'm looking at... Can I tell the story here?
Sure. Exactly. You tell a story.
This is Sarah's first time surfing.
Yes.
No. This is Sarah's first time fishing.
Yes.
Doesn't really understand the concept of fishing, I'm guessing, but first attempt came up with seaweed.
Yes. And you can see in the background, you can see that there is a lot of seaweed. And so the fishing is kind of slim pickings here. So it's more of casting and just the fun of throwing the line out and just getting used to that on the little rod she's got there. But, just the frustration. So I'm trying to convey, you know, the frustration of a first-time fishing venture where all you catch is seaweed.
Now, to be clear, is lakeweed?
Yeah, sure. It's a little pond is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. It's not.
Now, really... they have ponds in Seattle?
This is actually in Washington when we went camping. So yes, they do have ponds.
Gotcha.
But this isn't in Seattle. This is Linden, Washington.
Did she end up catching a fish?
No, she did not.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But that's okay. She enjoyed the casting.
I can't imagine what would happen if she actually caught one, though.
Oh, no, but she went with her grandpa a week earlier and actually did catch one. And I wasn't there. And apparently the excitement level was through the roof, because even in her retelling of the story, was pretty excited about it. So she actually just had a line out in a boat and caught a little sucker on Lake Okanagan. So
this wasn't Richard Dreyfuss.
No, this wasn't. This was her other, Lisa's dad, her other grandpa.
Oh.
Yeah, but she was ecstatic about it. So this actually wasn't her first fishing experience. This was her second fishing experience.
But this, I would say, oh, nice, okay.
Yeah. So the end, that's the story. Caught seaweed, a little disappointed. The end.
Okay.
Do
you want to talk about your picture a little bit? What'd you shoot? This is with the 50mm lens, I'm guessing.
Yeah, this is the 50mm lens, and this is shot. Well, you can see she's kind of shaded, so she's in shadow, and it's taken in the middle of the day, so super bright out, really sunny day, and a lot of greens in the background. But basically, I shot this at an f/4.5 on an ISO of I think 200 and an aperture of 100. So trying to, you know,
the aperture of
4.5.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to, you know, trying to find some sort of balance between exposing properly for the bright, bright background and the bright grass behind her, but yet not have her be completely blacked out. So I tried to achieve some sort of balance there, and that's where I ended up. So
that's a great balance, actually.
Yeah, so
there's no flash on this.
No flash. No.
No, that's you've done everything. I don't know if you've done it on purpose, but you've done everything right here in this situation. You got her back lit, first of all.
Yeah.
So you can see like all the light on her shoulders, and that is blown out. And there'll be people who tell you, who freak out and tell you about the blown out highlights. I'm not one of those people. I have no problem with blown out highlights. Do it. Don't always do it, but if in this situation, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? You have a tough situation with, like you said, with the bright grass. The bright grass, actually, I'm guessing, is what is providing the fill light on her face.
Yeah, I think so.
So you have that coming in that way. So you have that. I mean, that is probably normally very nice, green, rich grass.
Yes, it was a lot darker than it appears in the picture.
But in this case, you know, because it is so well lit, so much light on it, it's going to blow out. You have to do that delicate balance between, okay, great, do I want to, you know, like you just said, do I want to make her face dark? Well, no, you don't. So I think you did a great job here, you know, keeping the background reasonably exposed.
Okay.
And the focus is all on her and the seaweed anyway.
That's right, and that's what I wanted it to be.
Bam. How many tries did this take you to get the exposure right?
I think 3.
Yeah. And okay, real quick, how does that go? When the first one you take, was it under or over?
I think the first one was overexposed background, and
right.
And then I went the other way, and then I adjusted somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
Love it.
Thank you. So, how about yours?
Okay. Well, you tell the story of mine.
Okay, so it looks like Lena went for a haircut, and she's kind of recognizing that something might not be right, and from the look on the hairdresser's face, something is obviously not right.
That's the story.
That's the story. Now, this, I'm guessing, is staged. I'm hoping that you just didn't happen to be showing up at her hair salon taking pictures of this event.
No, this was staged.
Okay.
We the two of us had our hair cut yesterday. I said once my hair was cut, I said, "Hey, listen, can I take a picture?" So, absolutely staged.
Okay.
And exactly the motivation I said, "Okay, Lena, you're going to be recognizing that something is not quite right." More so by the reaction of the hairdresser, who went,
"Yeah,"
and you don't know how bad it is yet. So,
yeah, no, I think you you accomplished that. Now, my question to you is, how did you decide where to put the focus on this picture? Because, you know, this could have easily just been the other way. Have Lena more as the focal point and have the hairdresser sort of as the blurred. So how did you settle on this?
Well, originally I was going to have them both in focus.
Okay.
And then I ultimately did not like the background. And so I wanted to blur it enough just to obscure it from the image.
Right.
And so I then had to choose. And the entire time I decided I was going to focus on the hairdresser because that's the main focus. Like it's about hairdressing.
It's about her mistake.
It's about her mistake. We want to know that she's a hairdresser. If the focus was on Lena, I think we would get the idea, but it might be unclear what Sophie's holding in her hand. And so there could have been a little confusion.
Okay.
So this way I wanted to make it 100% on that. And that way I knew that the sort of the barber's bib, what do you call that? The cape?
Yeah. Whatever.
Would be visible enough.
Yeah.
And you would get enough of an idea about what was going on with her from the focus being on the hairdresser. You could make the leap that she was getting her hair cut.
Yes. Yes, I don't think
versus the other way.
I agree. I don't think there's any question there. Whew. Yeah. No, I like it.
Dodge that bullet.
I like it. Now, I'm not sure if this in some way is a disqualification in the fact that this is so staged. I don't know. Mine wasn't staged. Mine was just candid. I just made my story happen. You really forced your story here.
Yeah, I said tell a story.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I win. I think I just have a better feeling about how mine came about. Yours, I don't know.
What are we talking about now? I said tell a story. The challenge was go tell a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't say sit back and have a story told in front of you and hope you point your camera at it.
Okay.
So is that we can make that the challenge this week. Whoops, hey, lucky I caught that.
Well, that's the whole thing. This was a real challenge. Because you really had to look for stories unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't. You cheated. And I sort of at one point sort of thought about cheating. And then I'm calling what you did a cheat. Maybe it's not. But no, I really made the extra effort. I went the extra mile to find a story as it was happening.
Really?
Yeah. So
you think the extra mile is to wait for something to happen and then point your camera at it versus actually taking the time and effort to create a story.
I thought about stories and I thought that was too easy. I could pose it all up, but no, that's not how it works. That's not how life works.
That's how stories work. Is Jesse a real person? Is this a hidden camera biography?
I think
no.
We could just agree to disagree.
Toy Story wasn't real, Adam. Somebody took the time to invent that.
Oh, and this is what you've done.
I'm not putting it on the same level as Toy Story, but okay, you said it. Fine, yes. This is Toy Story 4. That's the title of my picture. Oh. Jesse gets a haircut.
She kind of looks a little bit like Jesse. If you put the hat on her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll borrow Sarah's hat when we're in town.
Yeah, it will fit her. It's pretty big.
I would love to see my wife wearing the Jesse thing to the water park.
Yeah. You let her know. You let her know that they, you know, kind of like when we Lisa had those pictures of Sarah with all the facial expressions and you did a Lena version.
Right.
I'll send you a Jesse for Lena to copy. She'll love it.
Yeah, I'm sure she will.
So how are we going to get this episode in on under 31 minutes with you just you know, taking tangents all over the place here?
Yeah, that's true.
Keep it on track. Cheating.
Fine. What's this week's topic?
High-speed sync.
What is high-speed sync?
Well, I don't think I have an easy explanation, a technical explanation, so I don't know if you want me to attempt to give a technical explanation or just tell you how I use it.
Background story on this is I kind of gave you this tip, like, I don't know, a couple months ago.
Yeah. It's not that sort long ago. Maybe, yeah, like around, oh, no, it was around Canada Day, I think. So July.
Yeah, beginning of the summer.
Yeah.
Knowing full well that you'd be shooting in some sunny days.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Adam's ready for this. He's ready for high-speed sync flash. We're talking about flash photography when we talk about high-speed sync.
Yeah, we're going back to flash.
Back to flash. One thing that we kind of missed, or didn't really miss, but, you know, whatever. Let's move ahead.
We were holding out, just like you were holding out on me for all this time, not letting me in on this little trick. We've been holding out on our podcast audience.
Well, I feel like you want to establish a good base of knowledge and then build on that.
Yeah, you just want to feel like you're better than everyone else.
I do not wish to do that. So high-speed sync is it's a technique for using your flash.
Yes.
Now, I introduced that to you, and you ran with it.
I love this technique. I love it.
It's your new addiction. Well, explain to us why.
Well, I mean, for me, when shooting children, most of the time that I've got my camera out and I'm taking pictures of them happens to be in the middle of the day, not the ideal hours for taking pictures, as most of our audience probably is recognized by now, because, you know, in the middle of the day, you've, especially on a sunny day, you've got the sun overhead and you've got shadows everywhere. And as a result of all the light, usually you're dialed in at a ISO of 100. And you have to have a super fast shutter speed with all the light coming into your lens. So what that means is if you want to use flash, you're going to run into some problems because, as we've talked about previously, you put the flash on and all of a sudden your shutter speed is going to, at a max, is going to go all the way down to probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 1/200th of a second, which means if you've got the aperture set at 4.5 or 4, if you're set on manual, you're going to have a completely blown out image. And if you're overexposed, that is, and if you're in AV mode, it's just not going to let you set your aperture there. You're going to go all the way up to probably, I don't know, an F16 or something. So right. To get around that, because, I mean, for us, we've talked about wanting to shoot at those lower apertures, you have to employ a different method. So this is...
Well, first of all, what is happening? Like, why is there a maximum sync speed?
Again, the technical explanation, I guess the shutter has to open and close and allow the flash light to come through, and that can only happen so fast.
That's right. I mean, we have a detailed video of it on YouTube that I'll put a link to. But ultimately, the first curtain opens, the picture's exposed. During that time, like you said, the flash has to fire, and then it has to close again. Right?
Yeah.
After around 1/200th of a second, roughly, is kind of the breaking point for most cameras. That's the fastest your shutter can go, and actually have both curtains fully open at the same time. Faster than that, the second curtain starts to close before the first curtain is all the way open.
Okay. Yeah.
So rather than being open and closed, it's just a small slit moving across the image plane.
Yeah.
And so in order to, when you fire your flash off during that, it's only going to expose that small slit.
Right.
That's, therein lies the problem. And so in order to avoid shooting at F11 or F16, we need a much faster shutter speed.
Right.
In order to do that, we then go ahead and...
set the flash to high-speed sync.
High-speed sync. Now, what physically happens is your flash actually doesn't fire like a standard flash. It fires a bunch of repeated flashes, so it's a more steady stream of light.
Right.
So it's like a flashlight, kind of.
Yeah.
And that it's just always on. Carry on.
Well, I was just saying, I mean, it's awesome because, I mean, I'm not thinking about, you know, the technical aspects as much as you explained there, but it allows me in the middle of the day, right, to have an ISO of 100 and an aperture of 3.5, let's say, and a shutter speed of 1/2000th of a second, and just get enough of that flash to to basically, you know, use this fill flash to fill in the dark shadows on my daughter or my son's face as they're playing at the park. So I love it because, you know, it doesn't look like oftentimes that picture is taken in the middle of the day because you're able to light them properly.
Right. And that's, well, my next question was, how do you use it effectively? That's how. You're essentially going to use it as fill flash.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening, because it shoots off a series of flashes, it basically cuts the power way down.
Yeah.
And so you no longer have the full output. You can't really blast it, you know, and overpower the sun. But what it is great for is filling in those shadows.
And I've done a lot of tinkering around, and I think, you know, it's pretty easy to see if you take your same picture. And when I first started playing around with this, is exactly what I did. I would take one picture with no flash, and then I would take the exact same setup with the high-speed sync, every other parameter staying constant, and just flick back and forth between the two pictures. And again, it's awesome, the difference, especially when you're shooting at, you know, 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the shadow is completely across your subject's face.
Right. So, do you ever use this inside?
I don't very often, but the scenario that I have used it in is where I'm trying to get the kids, when they're running around, and using a 1/200th of a second flash is not enough to completely freeze them. Now, often it will freeze them, but if they're running around in circles, sometimes that's what I'll do, is I'll use the high-speed sync just so that I can keep a shutter speed of, you know, 1/1000th of a second and completely stop motion.
That's a great tip, actually, because generally you can stop them by using the flash, but you're still going to get a little bit of blur if they're really moving.
Yeah.
But even at 1/200th, if you're going to get some blur from them moving, the flash will stop them, but then you'll see some – that's when we get into rear curtain sync and all that. So I guess you could use it inside, high-speed sync inside. Great tip.
At a close range, it works awesome.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the one thing you have to keep in mind, is everything's got to be close range now.
Yeah.
So the only time – I mean, if you're outside shooting, generally I say don't bother with high speed sync unless you want the shallow depth of field.
Right.
If you're in a situation where you don't need it, like you're, you know, up against with up against a wall or something, which is going to look terrible anyway with a flash, but if you're in a situation where you don't need that shallow depth of field, you're better off going with regular sync.
Correct. But yeah.
If you want to blur the background and you're in close and in tight enough, it's a fantastic option. And how do you set it? Do you set it on your flash or in your camera?
I think you can do either. I usually it's simple on the Canon external flash that I have. There's just basically a button on it that scrolls through regular flash, one other setting, and high speed sync. And so I just push the button twice and boom, it's on high speed sync. But you can do it through the camera menu on my Canon as well. So you have the either option.
I forget what it's called in the Nikon world, so someone will have to look that up if you're shooting the Nikon. But I'm sure everybody has it. It's a great technique to use.
Does it exist on the pop-up?
I don't think it does.
Okay.
I don't think there's enough power in it. It might.
I don't know.
I can't see it being useful.
Yeah.
The one thing that is fantastic nowadays with all these, with like the dedicated flash, by dedicated flash I mean a Canon flash on a Canon camera, is they talk to each other and they know. So you can't accidentally set your camera to 1/1000th of a second with the flash on and then take a bunch of pictures and not notice that half the picture's black.
Right.
So it automatically will dial the shutter speed down to 200.
Yeah.
Until you click over the high-speed sync, and then you're free to go all the way up to 1/4000th, I believe.
Yeah.
Mine goes up to 1/8000th of a second if I want. I shot some of that when I did the mountain bike project or my mountain bike client from a few months ago. We were out in a very sunny day, really tough conditions, and I tried using high-speed sync, and I found that the one limitation was that I was usually too far back from the action.
Right.
And so when shooting with my 200-millimeter lens, I couldn't really get enough pop with the high-speed sync from so far away. So I ended up having to shoot at 1/200th of a second, and you end up dealing with the motion blur.
Right.
So that happens.
Yeah.
So that's high-speed sync.
Yeah, go try it, because, for me, it was like a revelation once I started using it and seeing, you know, the quality of my midday pictures just absolutely took off.
Yeah.
So I was sort of at the point where oftentimes I just wasn't bothering to take any of those pictures because I was just not happy with all the shadows. And again, my kids are always running around, so the motion blur, and it was as you like to put it, it was a game changer.
It's, and to be clear, that's for on camera flash.
Yes.
Now there are systems that will let you do the high speed sync and all that with off camera flash, but there's limitations to that as well, and some of them are, you know, expensive. When I do off camera flash, I do full manual, and one of the things I do miss a great deal is the ability to high speed sync when I'm off camera.
Right.
But for on camera, that's when you're going to end up using it. So.
All right.
So that's a little subtle hint that in the very near future we are going to start exploring off camera flash.
I'm excited. I want to learn how to do this.
That's something Adam's never done. So it'd be exciting for you, obviously, and hopefully our listeners will get something out of it. Because if you're not shooting with your flash off your camera yet, you should start to think about it. Because I can't believe how cheap it is now. Like, it used to be the thing where it's, you know, you had to invest a lot of money and to get a system to do that, but not anymore.
And at some point, you'll go through the necessary supplies list for people that are interested.
We will go over all of that.
Excellent.
So that's a hint for what's coming up.
Okay.
Among other things, we have other things coming up with the changing seasons and stuff. That's enough of a hint right there. So next week's show, Adam.
Yeah.
Are you ready for it?
Sure.
We'll be in person. It's going to be face to face.
What about a challenge between now and then?
We're going to get to a challenge, which I wrote in the show notes, actually, Bubba, and I see you're reading now. Good for you. Actually, can't believe you actually have the show notes up.
I do.
Next week's challenge, let's do a high-speed sync photo.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Now, what can I do to make sure that I don't cheat? What are you considering cheating on this one?
This one, I think, is a little more open to interpretation. I thought you were going to do something more candid as opposed to so rehearsed. So my bad. Yeah. I thought you were better than that.
Oh,
it's my fault though. Wow. It's my fault.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking me to task.
So this apologies. One, just use high speed sync. That's it.
So you're not going to establish any other parameters and then catch me on it later.
No, I don't think so. I think, actually, let's say it has to be outside. It has to be outside in some sort of bright light, because this is how we're intending to use it. So let's do it outside, middle of the day. So let's pick the hours between, let's say, 12 and 3, when we're going to have the most probably shadow on our subjects.
Okay.
And that's it. So you can't do it on a cloudy day. You got to pick. Hopefully there'll be some sunshine between now and then. So a bright sunny day, middle of the day.
Okay. And I will add one further caveat.
Okay.
Caveat? Caveat? I don't know.
I don't know.
Any of our Latin listeners can let us know.
Yeah.
It should be a situation where you need high-speed sync.
Okay.
And not a situation where you force it. Like, it's, yeah, you would not have got that shot without high speed sync.
And maybe what we should do is we should take the same picture. I think we've done this on other challenges. Take the same picture with and without.
Meaning, I'm going to push it one step further.
Okay.
And say, take the pictures three times picture. Once, with no flash.
Right.
Once with high-speed sync flash.
Right.
Once with regular flash.
Except the regular flash picture will completely change the other parameters.
Yes. That's a good point, Adam. Maybe that will be a good point to illustrate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So take
you
a
see where I'm going with that?
Take a completely different picture and
No, it'll be the same picture, the same framing, but you'll see the difference in the fact that it goes from an f/2.8 all the way up to an f/16, and you can see the difference.
Okay.
And the difference, there'll be other differences as well.
All right, well, I will do it. Just for you, I will do it.
So you open the door. You open the door to a three-peat. So next week in person, live in Vancouver. I'm a little bit nervous.
Should you have a studio audience?
We should. We're going to do a whole...
We could have Sarah, Jack, and Lisa, live studio audience. Hey, maybe your dad.
My dad will come over, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. We'd take audience questions. Yeah. Like, Dad, can I have a Coke?
Yeah. Sarah and Jack like to practice the two hosers photo show intros, so I'm sure they could contribute in some way. Especially Sarah. She's all about the two hosers photo show.
Maybe we'll do a guest interview.
She has a little mini toy camera that she got from the dentist the other day.
Yeah.
That shows, again, you like it's just tiny, and it shows, like, you click it and you look through the little lens, and it shows little, it's almost like one of those viewfinders, but it's just tiny, tiny, and it looks like a camera, and wow, do both of those kids think that is the best thing ever.
Despite the fact that she has your old point and shoot.
Yeah, no, this camera is the end all be all. And today, Sarah actually had Jack, Lisa and I posed for a picture, set it all up, and then said, "I'm going to run in." And so she ran in after the whole thing was set up.
It's going to take a few.
Oh yeah, and then she told us that, "Oh wait, it's going to take a few pictures." So I was like, "That is awesome." So you think Dad is taking a few?
Did it really do that, or she just thought it was?
Well, we told her, "Oh, wait, oh, one more, and we're done." And then she checked out the pictures to make sure that they were good before we were all allowed to return to our other activities.
Okay, wait, does the camera from the dentist actually have a timer?
It has nothing. It's a piece of plastic.
Okay, so this was just your imagination.
Yeah, her imagination, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
So when I used my imagination on the picture, you hammered me on it. I'm guessing you didn't do that with her.
No,
you humored her.
No, we humored her. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. Okay, well, that's it for this week. Until next week, Adam, where can people find the pictures of your cowgirl daughter?
SchwartzChronicles.com.
And there's other ones on there, too, not just that. I urge you to check them out.
And what about your stuff?
AlanAttridge.com, as usual. You can go. I've changed the homepage to show that white background friends picture.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be, as soon as I get a little bit of breathing room, I'm going to change up some of my portraits on there. So I urge you to check that out. You can find us at twohosers.com, twohosers on the Twitter. We're on the Flickr. We're going to consolidate all of this very soon because, wow, we're in a whole bunch of different places. Google+. Was looking enticing. But until then, you can find us in all those places. Go to twohosers.com. Okay, that's it. Till next week. Everybody, get out there. Make better photos.